Welcome, everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. I'm your host, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. I serve Trinity Lutheran Church just north of Murdoch, Nebraska. We're right in between Lincoln and Omaha. Come check us out if you're interested in the historic Christian faith as confessed by the Lutheran Reformation, which is to say justification by faith alone, for Christ's sake alone. That is to say, you're saved only by the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in him. Check us out sometime if you're interested. We'd love to have you. In any event, I've been doing a flyby here of James, and we were going to get into Hebrews. We'll get into that in the next couple of weeks. Finish James and then get into Hebrews. I want to take a little break from that real quickly today and the two parts that I have today. And I want to talk about the transfiguration of our Lord, because Sunday, February 11th, of course, is that festival in the church year. And then, of course, the following Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we begin the 40 days of Lent. This is just a magnificent text, three-year series, B series in the three-year. The text is Mark 9, verses 2 to 9. Let's get right to it. After 6 days, that's on purpose, by the way, you know, 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and then he rested, you know. 6 days here with Christ, you have the new creation, and you're going to get a glimpse of it here, of what heaven is like with the Lord Jesus Christ. In any event, 6 days, Jesus takes with him, he takes three of them, he takes Peter, James, and John. He leads them up a high mountain by themselves, and he's transfigured before them, and his clothes become radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good that we are here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say. They were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they saw no one else except Jesus, Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. That's the text. And let's just talk about it and have some fun with it. Again, February 11th, Transfiguration of our Lord, Mark 9, 2 to 9. You know, this must have been quite a sight that Peter, James, and John saw. Really, it must have been, you know, because they saw Jesus with all his divinity leaking out all over the place, his divine glory, and he's talking with Moses and Elijah. You remember in the New Testament, John wrote, I'm talking about the Apostle John, he wrote in his gospel, we have beheld his glory, or we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And you remember Peter wrote in his epistle, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And so there on the mountain, recorded here in Mark 9, in full view of his three closest apostles, Jesus reveals his glory, the glory that was his, or the glory that is his, I should say, as the only begotten Son of the Father. He is God of God, light of light. He is very God of very God. Well, you remember prior to this, Jesus had promised his disciples that some of them would not taste death until they had seen that the kingdom of God had come with power. Do you remember that? Well, so 6 days later, Jesus led Peter, James, and John up on this high mountain. And oh, and by the way, mountain, let's not forget that when the Lord is having himself a mountain, if I can talk like that, that's how Dr. Nagel would always talk, one of my professors. When the Lord is having himself a mountain, watch out, because big things happen on mountains in the Bible. God on a mountain is a people of God event. It's a church event. It's an Israel event, like Mount Sinai. And so it's on a mountain, a very high mountain. Jesus is transfigured before them. This is a church moment. The Lord's having himself a church again. And that's big in Mark's gospel. Now, just a side note here, in case you're interested, you know, the English is transfigured, but the Greek is metamorphosis, or it's where we get our word metamorphosis, I should say. So in other words, literally from the Greek, Jesus is metamorphosized. He's changed in appearance, His face, it shines like the sun. His clothing becomes blindingly, brilliantly white. And as the text says, it's whiter than anybody on the earth could bleach it. That is to say, his clothing, okay? So what's happening is that our Lord's divinity, his divine nature, is, as I said earlier, it's leaking out all over the place, or it's shining through his humanity. And I want everybody to note this really well, because Jesus is both true God and true man in one person. So God is his Father, the Virgin Mary is his mother, and so as I ask the catechesis kids, I tell them this, Jesus is in one person. He's 100% God and he's 100% man. And then I try to make this clear about what I mean, what the Bible teaches about that. It doesn't mean that Jesus is like two pieces of wood that are glued together. I'm talking about his humanity and his divinity. It's not like two pieces of wood that you glue together. And it's not like breaking an egg and then mixing the yolk and the white together to form some kind of third thing. So my point is that Jesus is not a hybrid. He's not a hybrid of God and man. He's neither a superman, and he's not a lesser God or a lesser divinity. He is the God-man. He is the unique person in whom the fullness of the deity dwells in this human body, as Paul teaches in his letter to the Colossians. So there's no one else quite as unique as our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God-man. The Word became flesh, John says, and pitched his tent or made his dwelling among us. So this is what Peter, James, and John get a glimpse of on the mountain that day. They see Jesus in his glory as God shines, his divinity, I should say, shines through his humanity. And I want to make a couple of points on that, and this will probably take the rest of the program. Good grief. You know, the time flies when you're having fun. Let's not forget that Jesus always deals with us through his humanity. I mean, you don't get his divine nature without his human nature. The two are always together because of this union between the two in his person. So, you know, when we say that Jesus is present among us in the divine service, that is to say in the Word and in the sacrament, we mean that he is present with us as the what? As the God-man. Both his divine and human natures are present. And I make this point strenuously because a lot of Christians these days deny that. And they split the two natures apart. They'll say the divine nature is up above us in heaven and the human nature is with us in the service. That's not true. That's simply not true. Or they'll say that, I may have mixed that up when I said that. I better say it correct. I can't remember what I said. Let me say it better. A lot of Christians will say that the human nature of Jesus is locked up in heaven somewhere, way up above us, and that Jesus is only with us according to his divine nature. And so they say, Jesus, when he's with us at church, it isn't the God-man according to both natures. So I don't think I said that right at first, so I hope I got that corrected. All right. So, you know, quoting our Lord, you know, with regard to marriage, let's apply it here. You know, what God has joined together, namely the human and divine nature of Christ in one person, we must not separate. We need to leave Jesus whole and not try to pull him apart. And this is really important because you can't have a human Jesus in one place and then the divine Jesus somewhere else. Are you following this? But a lot of Christians try to do this. They're well-meaning and well-intended, but you can't do that. And we see this especially when you talk about the Lord's Supper. You can't have a human Jesus in heaven and a divine Jesus here on earth. I mean, either Jesus is the God-man in the crib, on the Mount of Transfiguration, on the cross, at the right hand of God the Father, and in the Word and the sacrament in the divine service, or he isn't the one who mediates between God and man. So my point is that Jesus touches our humanity and the Father's divinity, and he does it without dividing himself. So you can always test yourself on this, okay? Let me ask yourself, was God born of the Virgin Mary? Did a human being shine with the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration? Here's another one that I always like to ask people. Did God